Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There's still a little time to get some tax-saving ducks in a row before the end of the year. We can give you some advice on that a little bit later in the program. But first, we'll check in with our St. Louis Public Radio Capital correspondents, Jim Howard and Marshall Griffin, to review the top stories in their beats over the past year. And there are many of them. We'll start with Marshall Griffin. Marshall, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Don.
Hope you had a great holiday.
Yeah, pretty good so far. Yeah.
Good, good. Well, let's begin, Marshall, with what you look back on as the top story of the year in 2015 in your beat.
There were two contenders for it, but as far as number one, I have to go with the legislative shakeup and also the fallout over the scandals involving lawmakers pursuing inappropriate relationships with college-age interns, and also the more recent efforts to address that issue as the 2016 legislative session approaches.
Yeah, they sound pretty serious about getting together on some sort of an ethics program down there.
Yeah. Now, to talk about ethics, a lot of people will group what happened with the fallout over John Deal and Paul Lavoda with the overall larger ethics issues involving lobbyists and campaign contributions. They're really two separate issues, but perhaps first cousins of each other as far as the overall behavior and climate of Jefferson City. I would expect that if there's going to be progress in any of these, it would be towards the relationship, working relationship between interns, staff, and lawmakers. Specifically, the House has already put some rules into effect that don't require any passage of bills or signing of new law, basically just internal policies. The Senate has not taken any action yet, basically because there's the view that they already have those sufficient policies in place, and it's just a matter of enforcing them. As far as ethics, as far as the other view of ethics, the one we're more used to talking about, there will be a number of bills similar to ones we saw last year regarding cutting out gifts, banning gifts from lobbyists, making sure that certain rules regarding having dinners paid for by lobbyists, which were banned by John Deal before he resigned from office, at least banned for the House side, but still no laws preventing anything like that. We might see bills that address issues like that, and Ron Richard has even suggested he might be willing to entertain legislation to cap campaign contribution limits. I would still be highly skeptical that anything like that would actually get out of the session in 2016 and make it to the governor's desk.
Well, I was going to bring that up because we've seen this movie before, as they say,
yeah.
And they don't seem well disposed to take much action.
And the fact that 2016 is an election year, I don't really see it happening.
That's likely to have an impact on many fronts, isn't it? The election year.
It will. And it's a big election year, not like 2014. This involves we have a governor's race, we have a presidential race, we have one U.S. Senate race in Missouri. All the congressional seats are up. There's going to be a lot of things going on, and historically in election years, especially in gubernatorial and presidential election years in Missouri, a whole lot doesn't really get done.
It's a Republican-dominated legislature in Jefferson City. I wonder, are you hearing anything from the Republicans down there with what they're hearing from the top-tier candidates on the national level and how that might impact their own races?
Bits and pieces here and there. I can tell you that a number of candidates are starting to line up in various camps. I'm probably more familiar with who's lining up in the governor's races. I believe Jay Barnes is backing Eric Greitens for governor, as one example. Even before Greitens officially announced, he had a little press event with some potential supporters here in Jefferson City, and Jay Barnes hosted that event. So, yeah, definitely Barnes, he's not among the House leadership, but he's one of the more vocal voices and has a bit of sway and chairs some of the more important committees in the House. He's definitely in the Greitens camp there. A former state senator, John Bruner, who still commands a good bit of respect as far as his respect and opinions as far as his work goes, is backing John Bruner. So that you expect a good bit of, definitely expect some of that to manifest in the presidential race as well. But so far, my ears have been more in tune with what's been going on in the governor's race.
Sure. Well, let's look back now. Rather than look ahead, we'll have a chance to do that in the next week or two as the legislature prepares to convene. One of the big stories I know that you were very much involved with, as we all were, was the suicide of Tom Schweik.
Yeah, and that was my other top story of this year, and it's kind of passed. It doesn't get talked about a whole lot anymore, but it was just such a shocking thing that happened. Someone's unexpected death is always hard and always surprising, but when someone I'm not sure I can remember the last time a statewide elected official, died at office. I'm guessing perhaps Mel Carnahan may have been the last one that I can at least think of at the moment. But it was just such a shock that that Tom Schweik not only died, but the manner in which he died. That was followed a few weeks later by the suicide of his longtime spokesman, Spence Jackson. I knew both of them personally, and it was really a shock. Just knowing what happened, it was a little hard to cover his funeral personally, but I will tell you it's something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot now. But his suicide also had political ramifications because it completely reshaped the Republican race for governor. It was basically a two-man race between Tom Schweik and Catherine Hanaway. Now you've got a more wide open field with Peter Kinder. Eric Greitens, John Bruner, and Hanaway. So it's had that as well. But at this point, Tom Schweik he'll be remembered. I'm sure he will be talked about even this upcoming legislative session. But it's, even though it's something that hasn't gotten a lot of ink lately, but his suicide, his death, still felt around here.
Sure, and he had much to contribute. A young man, much to contribute in later years had he not taken his own life.
Yeah, absolutely. He had a bright future. Well, even if he had lost the governor's race, he was a very thorough, very capable official who knew how to get things done. Whether you agree with the politics or not, or whether you think he would have made a good governor, I mean, his work ethic was definitely there on view.
The other thing that kind of has caught my eye, and I suspect it has yours too, in looking back, was the legislative session. I mean, there are many things we could talk about, but one of the things that I see is a certain disappointment that the legislature didn't do more to deal with the Ferguson fallout.
Yeah, and I think there actually would have been some outrage if nothing had gotten done. But the one bill that did pass was a pretty big one, that was addressing municipal court reform, doing something about the percentage of revenue that comes from traffic fines, further tightening that cap. That was big, and I believe that there is another proposed bill to shrink that cap even more. I don't know how much support there would be for that. And of course, none of the others were passed by the full House or full Senate. Those others being requiring body cameras, addressing and redefining the actions that police officers can take in certain situations. Those will come up again, and perhaps it's once again because it's an election year. I don't really expect much to happen with that, other than just perhaps getting a lot of debate and floor time. As far as actual votes and passage, I don't really see it happening.
And looking back at other legislative happenings, what catches your eye?
Well, one in particular that's going to get a lot of immediate attention, and that is what to do about this proposal to build and finance a new NFL stadium in St. Louis. And that's something that's going to get attention early, especially because of the, I believe, the January 11th or 12th deadline that the NFL owners have set to decide whether or not they're going to allow a team to move to Los Angeles. So I figure that's going to be one of the things early in the agenda of the 2016 session. If there's no decision made as far as any team relocating, it might actually get ramped up a good bit more, because I think influence Nixon to perhaps even push a little bit more on getting something done without legislative approval, and the lawmakers are going to start digging their trenches and lines in the sand to stop him and do whatever it takes to stop that from happening.
It doesn't seem to be much legislative sentiment for support there.
No, and with this being Governor Nixon's last year in office, I think there's going to be a mindset of Nixon wanting to, pull off one last big accomplishment with the House and Senate Republicans' chance to kick him where the sun doesn't shine one last time.
Only a couple of seconds left. What do you see as your headline for 2016? Anything pop out at you?
Right now, the headline is lawmakers attempt to get something done as everyone runs for office. Bit of a clunky headline, but that's pretty much, I think, what the theme's going to be for 2016.
All righty. Well, that is certainly something we're going to be looking at. There's one, while we have a moment or two here, there's one other thing I wanted to ask you about, and that is the proposal, I guess it was in the last week, just before Christmas, to offer legislation providing for a tax holiday for gun purchases in the state of Missouri. That, I understand, has been withdrawn, or has it?
I will be honest with you. I've been off for the past few days, and I don't know the answer to that question, but it's something I can look up fairly quickly and find out. And once I do, I'll put something out on Twitter.
Okay. I'm just wondering if that has any traction at all. But, Marshall Griffin, thank you so much for being with us for that year in review, as it was. And when we come back, we'll go to the other part of the country. That would be the East Coast, and check in with St. Louis Public Radio's man in Washington, Jim Howard, and get his take on 2016. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now let's welcome our man in Washington, Jim Howard, and get his take on the top stories and the stories he's been covering in 2015 in his beat. Jim, nice to have you with us. Hope you had a great holiday.
I had a terrific holiday, Don. Thanks for having me on.
Good. Well, let's get started right away. What do you see as your top story of 2015?
Before October, I would have anticipated telling you that policing and everything that came out of the Michael Brown shooting would have been a clear winner. But with the departure of Speaker John Boehner and everything that came about in the election of Paul Ryan as Speaker, that, I think, ends up being the biggest story of 2015, and I think it has ramifications well into 2016 and beyond.
Sure. It's certainly a national story, but in a sense, as they say, all politics is local. How are our delegations, Missouri and Illinois, responding to Mr. Ryan so far?
Well, I think it definitely has a tie and a relevance to St. Louis for any number of reasons. We can look at all that transpired, what took place that built up the frustration that forced the ouster of Boehner was the expectations that Boehner had used for years to get those on the far right to come along with him to push certain agendas. And sometimes at some point he could not fulfill those expectations. That permeated down to voters who were expressing frustrations to their elected members. And when we saw things like the Iran deal, when the lawmakers couldn't stop that, and other Obama administration initiatives that hardcore conservatives felt very passionately about, not the least of which was the issue over Planned Parenthood. All of that welled up to the point that John Boehner had just run out of cards to play to placate those in the Freedom Caucus. It's a 40-member-plus invitation-only conference inner caucus in the House, but it also has sympathies in the Senate. And you start to look at what happened in those several days after Boehner said he would step down before they settled on Paul Ryan, what it meant that 40-some people could disrupt the entire operation of the House. It found resonance with conservatives who were very frustrated that they couldn't get their House bills through the Senate to the president's desk to force him to veto some issues that conservatives want to see on the president's desk. That ties into the local area with Representative Wagner, with Senator Blunt. He's in the Senate leadership. He's part of the Rules Review. And we can get into this, but that's why it has a tie to St. Louis.
Yeah, well, another, you mentioned police training a moment ago as one of the big stories of the past year. What about looking ahead? I know that Congressman Clay has been actively talking about this issue, something he's most interested in. Does he have any traction going for him on this?
Well, I don't know that the entire force of the Congressional Black Caucus, as considerable as it is, ends up having much traction in the House. And here's the big difference, and maybe some people have forgotten this in middle school or high school social studies classes, but the rules in the House historically have been designed to strengthen the hand of the majority as long as the majority can stick together. The minority really doesn't have sway. And that's where Boehner got in trouble. He always had to go into the Democrats to pass big bills because he couldn't bring all of his Republicans with him. The rules in the Senate historically, and even the structure of the Senate, has been a sort of a cooling off chamber. All of the members of the Senate are equals, and much more so than in the House. Everybody has a chance to move things even by unanimous consent without a vote. But it's a chamber that slows things down. In the House, if you're a member of the minority party, you can do your news conference and you can do your news release that you've introduced a bill. But if you don't have a majority member with you on it, and they're the lead sponsor, your bill's probably going nowhere unless somebody sees a strategic advantage in moving it. I suspect that's the real case of what's going to happen here with policing changes until Republicans in the majority in both chambers see a benefit to claiming credit for and advancing any legislation that may deal with that. Now, we saw some progress with, I think it's $22 million for body cameras, but we haven't seen the kind of reform that so many would like to have seen at the beginning of the year.
What else jumps out at you, Jim, over the past year?
Well, there's a lot to the upheaval in the House and the growth in strength on the part of the Freedom Conference or the Freedom Caucus. I got to be careful with those terms. A caucus is a group. The conference is a whole Republican group, a group of Republicans in the House. But that has the potential as we get into 2016. You know, at one point we were all hearing frequently about plans to defund Planned Parenthood. And then we started asking questions about what would that mean to women getting access to health care services and birth control services. And then the Republicans quickly shifted gears and said, well, we want to move the $500 million from Planned Parenthood to federally qualified health care facilities so that nobody would lose out on services. And we've been looking into that, and we don't know that transition necessarily guarantees that the same number of people have access to those services, but Republicans can make that argument. That cooled off after Boehner left and after Paul Ryan got a chance to talk to his conference. I expect that the debate over Planned Parenthood will come back hot and heavy in 2016 and will be part of everything involved in the presidential politics, at least as they pertain to Capitol Hill.
One of the things that caught my eye toward the end of the year was Senator Durbin of Illinois proposing that some legislation be drafted and written concerning taxation for online purchases. Any traction there that you're aware of?
Well, the Marketplace Fairness Act is something that he has been working on for years. This is the idea that if you own a bricks and mortar store in downtown St. Louis and you end up being a showcase because people come into your store, let's say it's a sporting goods store, and people come into your store to see the product, look at the product, and then they go home and they buy it online because they don't have to pay a sales tax. That really puts bricks and mortar stores at a huge disadvantage. And those stores, Durbin argues, not only are they paying sales tax, are they collecting sales taxes for the local economy and the state economy, but they're also employing people, and they're paying property taxes, and they are part of the community where the online retailers aren't. But online retailers have this huge advantage in terms of not having to collect sales tax. His legislation would require online retailers to collect sales tax or be required to when states approach them and say, when you make a sale within our borders, you have to collect the tax for us and forward it to us. So far, it has not found enough traction to get through both chambers of Congress, really, when anybody is in control. But that's one of the issues that Senator Durbin has been pushing for some time.
Recently got a transportation bill. How is Missouri going to be impacted by that?
Well, everybody presumably will get some benefit. It's a $305 billion highway transportation bill. It is largely funded by limiting what some banks can make by putting their money in the Federal Reserve Bank, essentially their version of interest back. Now, the Federal Reserve is not happy about that, but it's a quick way to find a big chunk of money to get behind this. It also gives them a multi-year highway bill that is funded for the full term of the bill as opposed to what the Senate had done earlier this year, which was to have a, I think it was a 5 or 6 year bill, and only the first couple of years of it was actually dedicated funding. You know, Missouri has tens of thousands of bridges that it has to deal with. One of the issues in here that Senator Blunt has been pushing for is to make sure that there's a dedicated stream of money to deal with what are called off-system bridges, the bridges that are largely owned by counties and smaller entities across the state, to make sure those are maintained. It has a big impact on Missouri. It may have a bigger impact on Missouri than just about anywhere else in the state. If you look at how many highways and transportation systems come together in Missouri, the shipping, the airports, the rail, and the highways, it's a big deal for us. Now, how much the state of Missouri gets out of this, I don't know yet. I do know that both Blunt and Senator McCaskill are concerned that Missouri needs to step up and come up with the matching funds to get as many federal dollars as they can. And right now, there doesn't seem to be that will in Jefferson City to take the step to produce the revenue to come up with those matching funds. Whether that involves a motor fuel tax increase or not is still to be determined. But that's a big issue for the state.
Just one of many. Jim Howard, I want to thank you so much for being with us and giving us a brief overview of 2016 or 2015. I hope you have a great and fine and wonderful 2016 and your post in Washington. Thanks so much for being with us, Jim Howard.
Thanks a lot, Don.
Our thanks, too, to Marshall Griffin for recapping his year. Coming up, you have a couple of days to go through your financial year to see what you can do to save some money on this year's tax bill. We'll help after this break. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.